Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Strap yourselves in, my friends. It is Tuesday, the 26th day of April, 2011. We're going to be live here for at least the next 3 hours. Many days we go into overdrive, as we did for 30 minutes yesterday with Wayne Madsen in studio. He's here visiting with us yesterday and today. He'll be joining us again on a host of issues coming up, co-hosting with me in the third hour today. Documentary filmmaker and author Bill Still, who has been all over Europe, Iceland, exposing the banker looting that's going on, who back in the mid-1990s released and is now re-released and expanded The Money Masters, How Banks Create the World's Money. I see in the near future a crisis approaching that unnerves me and causes me to tremble for the safety of my country. Corporations have been enthroned, and an era of corruption will follow, and the money power of the country will endeavor to prolong its reign by working upon the prejudices of the people until the wealth is aggregated in a few hands and the republic destroyed. Abraham Lincoln. So the maker of The Money Masters, last year he put out The Secret of Oz that deals with the problems and the solutions, all available, by the way, at Infowars.com if you want to support the makers of the film and also this operation. And then he's got a new book out, No More National Debt, Bill Still. Calls it the world's first interactive book. And it's got URLs and also scan barcodes where you can scan it and then it pops up on your computer, the documents and videos that back up the entire book. Kind of like my film, Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, has a full online bibliography with documents, video links, and news articles for every minute of the film. Everything we source is at whatistheendgame.com. So the new book, now available, just released today. We have it in stock, discounted out of the gates. No More National Debt, Bill Still, world's first interactive book of this type. And the Holzberg Review Florida wrote, excellent. I like the fact that you write like a normal person and not as though you're trying to impress anyone with your knowledge. This is very easy to understand. And so we're going to be going over this book today, because knowing the globalist and their activities is one thing, but understanding solutions to it is another. So we'll be debating different solutions to basically put out for the general public, who is now awakening to the private Federal Reserve banking cartel. The author of our financial and, of course, political enslavement, and it's illegitimate. It's oppressive, it's authoritative, it's authoritarian, it's illegitimate, and if we simply stand up and point that out politically, there's no way, no matter how slick their propaganda and brainwashing, that they're going to succeed. When people understand that their gas prices are going up predominantly because of Federal Reserve monetizing the debt, and that's now becoming mainstream news, when people understand that presidents And members of the House and Senate come and go, federal judges come and go, but that 1913 putsch, that junta, that banking cartel that sits above our nation, it stays. And it is the author of this debt black hole. So we're going to be breaking all of that down today with Bill Still coming up in T-minus 56 minutes from now. I'm just going to start my engines for when we come back in the official start of the full transmission on the other side of this quick break and attempt to get into all this news. It is particularly wild and particularly revealing, and we're going to be going over all of it A to Z on the other side. We have a lot of other very informative guests that are going to be joining us this week. Webster Griffin Tarpley is also coming down here to be interviewed for a film I'm working on. You know, I've been working on films for 2 years now, and I really haven't released one. I mean, I released Burmese's film that I produced, and I worked some on Police State 4, but that was a lot of the most of the directing and work on that, and what came out was due to Due and Douglas, who did a great job. But I really had three or four different films I've been working on, but I am ramming through one right now.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
It is Tuesday, the 26th day of April, 2011. And reading the newspapers, listening to talk radio, watching the news this morning, the news channels, it is as if the mainstream media is basically more and more acting and behaving like the Alex Jones radio show and Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And by that, I mean only to a certain point. They are admitting that the government has a 9% approval rating. It was 11. New numbers came out yesterday. The Congress now has a 9% approval rating. No one believes anything the government says. The government could say that the sky was blue and no one would believe it. The system is in a crisis, and it's suddenly being admitted that our economy is being imploded. And that the Federal Reserve is private, and that, yes, the government is spying on you without warrants, and the government and the major corporations' response is to lie. Steve Jobs is in the news, the head of Apple, saying it's preposterous that they don't spy on anybody and that they're not tracking your location or where you go or what you do. Now, it's in the Telecommunications Act of 96, that by October 1st, 2001, all phones in the United States that are cell phones are triangulated via cell towers and are tracked, and that there is a data trail on your phones that gives them a history of your location. Almost all cars made in the last decade also have a smart box that tracks how fast you were going, what you were doing for a long period of time, so that when you have a wreck, they have a record of it. Everything is having these piggyback systems put in. But here's Steve Jobs. Apple doesn't track anyone. And that's out of Yahoo News. Now, the issue here is the system is losing all credibility across the political spectrum. And that's why they're moving to try to censor and discredit and shut down the alternative media. That's why they're moving to go ahead and devalue the dollar now, so to impoverish us to such a great level that politically all we can do is basically focus on trying to feed ourselves hand to mouth. The system is using debt bondage as a tool of control. But let me just go over a smattering of the news that's up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. There's a new amazing USA Today poll. And remember, this is being done of pretty much mainline, dumbed-down people. They do these mainline polls from pools of people, Democrats, Republicans, people they've polled before, people who they know how they're going to respond. The number's actually much higher. Now, notice that for 3 years, a year before he even got in office, when we had Webster Tarpley and Phil Berg and Wayne Madsen, who were on questioning Obama's birth certificate, even before Jerome Corsi was. And I'm not poo-pooing his book that's number one on the bestseller list right now, or has been number one off and on. The point is, basically, from what I hear is going to be in it, that's the same thing these guys researched years ago. Just Corsi has now gone around and proven, and that this is new, that they've covered up in Indonesia, in the U.S., in Kenya, his records. They've been destroyed. So where there's smoke, there's fire. Evidence of the obstruction of the evidence. Evidence of the absconding. A clear who benefits, who gains from destroying the evidence. Key Bono, they're acting very suspiciously. It's like if a cop pulls you over for speeding and he's looking around the car and they're like, nothing's going on. Don't look back there. You know, the cop starts to look and it becomes probable cause because of the erratic way they're behaving. This is classic criminology. They are scared. But the big issue here is for 3 years they've said you're a kook, you're a lunatic, you're a nut. No one believes that he wasn't born in Hawaii. No one takes this seriously. This is fringe kooks, less than 1%, as Karl Rove even said a few months ago on Fox News, trying to defend the Republican and Democrat establishment. Don't go there. Glenn Beck saying, don't go there. Don't go there. Because the truth is, the establishment knows his providence is in question. They know he gave up his citizenship in Indonesia. That disqualifies him from being natural born. Once you've given up your citizenship to Indonesia, you can't come back here and ever run for president. They know. And so they tried this wall of ridicule, this wall of laughing. Shock poll, USA Today, Drudge Report's got it up. Only 38% say Obama definitely born in U.S. So you've got 62%, and that's in a establishment poll. Let me tell you something. I talk to Democrats. I talk to Republicans. I monitor the news. Everyone I know, libertarians, liberals, conservatives, anarchists, no one believes Obama was born in this country that I talked to. It's probably, just like you got 9% approval rating for Congress, it's more like probably 9%, if I had to dead reckon, believe this. Because he said he wouldn't hire lobbyists, hired more lobbyists than anybody in history. He said he'd stop the torture, intensified it. He'd stop the secret arrest, intensified it. He'd end the wars, expanded them. He wouldn't hire any Wall Street people. He wouldn't take Wall Street money. He wouldn't have signing statements. He wouldn't have secret meetings. He would open up the FOIA request. He's made it more secret than anybody. I have never seen anything like it because the globalists are in high gear. He's their puppet. He's their front man. He got four times the money that John McCain got. Not that McCain was good. They saw that the smart, better looking, more intelligent, on average Obama than burnout McCain, crazy McCain, would be able to sell their agenda and put the left to sleep. The left, you know, would stop complaining about torture, secret arrest, police state, the Patriot Act. The left was out buying guns under Bush because they finally learned how to fear the government. They finally got some common sense. It was sleepy time for the first year. Well, sleepy time's over. We're 2 years into this now, 3 years into the exposés of Barack Hussein Obama, and 38% say that he was definitely born in the USA. 62%. We're talking only a point away, 1.3 points away. We're talking only, when it hits 63% and change, two-thirds will not believe he was born in this country because they don't believe anything. I mean, if Obama came out and said that he had white teeth, no one would believe it. If Pelosi came out and said she had brown hair, no one would believe it. If they came out and said the grass is green and tulips are red and dandelions are yellow and daffodils are yellow and blue bonnets are blue, we don't believe a stinking word that comes out of your mouth. Let me tell you something. 3.5 years ago, when the Liberty Movement, 9/11 groups, actually 5 years ago, started having tea parties, throwing the 9/11 Commission report in the water, started in Boston. Then Liberty Movements in Austin had marches to get Ron Paul to run, and then when he announced, the first major Ron Paul Tea Party was in Austin. It's on record. Some media is accurate and calls him the grandfather of the Tea Party. They put a meme out on Fox, and Limbaugh does, saying the Tea Party was founded 2 years ago. It just had its birthday 2 weeks ago. It was founded by Sean Hannity. Yes, yes, no. No, 3 years ago, they were demonizing the Tea Party and putting out press releases saying conservatives don't hang out with these Ron Paul libertarians. They're dangerous. They're anti-military because they want to cut defense spending and cut foreign aid. The Republicans attacked the Tea Party until 2 years ago when they couldn't beat them. They joined them. Rick Perry was booed at four consecutive speeches. I played the YouTube videos here. Senator Cornyn was booed. It all started in Texas. Then Republicans were booed in other states. And they panicked because it wasn't just Republicans and libertarians going to Democratic town halls and shouting them down. Republicans were. And so suddenly Rick Perry said, I kill coyotes outside my house in the middle of Austin. I carry a gun. I wear a cowboy hat. I want to secede. I don't like the New World Order. This is a guy who hangs out at Bilderberg Group and would demonize patriots a year before that. And some of the Tea Parties went, what? And they had the Tea Party Express come through, run by Dick Armey, and big Fox News ads and the talk show host. Get out there. And boy, if you showed up with a Ron Paul shirt, these old ladies, we got video, would hit you with their signs. Get, commie. Get. We founded it. Get on out of here. Get. There ain't no dollar problem. There ain't no New World Order. You get your behind end out of here right now, boy. We like the Patriot Act. We like torture. We like the Federal Reserve. We like the CFR. But then that didn't work. So suddenly Beck and all of them started going, there is a New World Order. George Soros, world government. It's run by some mid-level nobody, Van Jones. Oh, my gosh, they're going to get us. The Federal Reserve is evil. See, they have to get more hardcore to keep any credibility. Ladies and gentlemen, when MSNBC airs, and I was seeing these numbers, at the By the Numbers Nielsen ratings site. In fact, I meant to cover this. Guys, will you pull me the Nielsen ratings on an average week for MSNBC? The point is, I heard a talk show I was talking about it, and I went and looked it up over the weekend, and there indeed it was there. I mean, I knew their average show had about 150,000 viewers on MSNBC. Their top shows, every once in a while with a big guest, maybe a million primetime, but generally about 500,000. I mean, a big talk show in a major city of 6-7 million people will have that during drive time. Okay, you can look at the Arbitron numbers on that. So they are legends in their own mind. But I didn't know that when they air a vacuum cleaner or a Chuck Norris home gym ad, they get more viewers in prime time than they get with Rachel, Mr. Maddow, and the rest of them. So the point is, they're paper tigers. They're husk. No one believes them. No one buys into them. So, of course, Fox has an average of 2 million viewers talking a little bit about the New World Order. I mean, if they went all the way, they'd have 20 million viewers. This show has over 3 million a day now, folks. But see, we're not legends in our own mind. We don't put on the air.
I was a highwayman. Along the coach roads I did ride. Sword and pistol by my side. Many a young maid lost her baubles to my trade.
This always happens.
Many a soldier shed his life.
I get into the show, I look at one news article, and then I run off in a 30-minute, 40-minute, hour-long rant. I can't do that today. I've got to cover all this news. It's too important. But the power of the establishment is dissipating. It's draining out. Like a fat hog that you haul up by its legs when you slaughter it and you slit its throat, they're bleeding out. And the last drops of credibility are dripping from their neck right now. They are dead on arrival. They know it. So they're moving with authoritarian control. But that hoax is in the process of collapsing as well, because we the people in every town and city across this country are gaining ground, gaining confidence, gaining momentum. But when you pull up the numbers that an anti-gun, anti-family, George Soros, General Electric crime syndicate supporting outfit like MSNBC can't even get a couple hundred thousand viewers, and ads for vacuum cleaners that they air get more viewers, people would rather watch an infomercial for a smoothie machine or for a food dehydrator or for a Chuck Norris weightlifting set than they would these people. They are jokes. Yes, they've got slick sets. Yes, they're in $10 million studios. Yes, psych warfare people are loading their teleprompters for them, but no one wants to watch it. And Fox is beginning to lose its viewers as well. Oh, it still has more viewers than all other cable news combined, but only because they'll at least pose as patriots. Well, how long can they stand up against a show like this one? How long can Sean Hannity compete against the internet, where people don't have to mince words? Well, the answer is the system is a cornered rat, and it's very, very dangerous right now. And so just because we've got them down does not mean they don't have a lot of aces up their sleeves, a lot of tricks that they're ready to pull on us. So they are cornered rats. They are dangerous right now. But think about the credibility issue. I want to get all of my writers in the next few weeks to write articles from their perspectives, chronicling and pulling up the old articles that we wrote over the last 16 years, where we broke down exactly what Glass-Steagall would do in articles for Infowars.com 11 years ago. We broke down how they would sell derivatives, how they would destroy the economy, how they would then cut all the other social services as the fix when it won't fix anything if you don't get rid of the private Federal Reserve. So you got a cut on your hand. Yeah, you need to put a Band-Aid on it. It is a problem. But your other arm is cut off with blood spraying out of it. Do you handle the cut on your hand or the arm that's cut off? You know which issue you need to deal with first. And so I start thinking about how we broke down basically everything. We have such a high and rising credibility that the system is floundering. And the more they come out and tell you that he was born in Hawaii, the more they tell you they've shown you his birth certificate, which they haven't. They've shown a printout that's a receipt of birth certificate. The more they push this, the more investigators go to Indonesia, and the more they go to Kenya, and the more they go to Hawaii. And the governor, remember, when he was governor-elect, Governor Abercrombie, going back 4 or 5 months ago, he said, as soon as I get in office in the next few weeks, I'm going to go get the birth certificate and release it. And he went and looked for it and told the Honolulu Advertiser, he said, there isn't one. I can't find it. Ladies and gentlemen, I sent off to the Bureau of Vital Statistics 14 years ago for my birth certificate. You know why? You've all seen the video of me being arrested for refusing to thumb scan, and I brought 7 forms of ID, my old license, my insurance, my birth certificate, a health club card. I mean, I brought it all just to illustrate that they wanted my biometric scan, and they arrested me, and then I put my birth certificate in my jacket, and then I ended up putting it in my back pocket, and then I washed my laundry and washed it, and so I later needed my original birth certificate when I was getting a passport. And I sent off to the Bureau of Vital Statistics, and I got one in the mail, a photocopy of the old blueprint with my paw marks, my feet marks on it, my little ink feet. In fact, I ought to dig that out. I've got it at home and bring it in. They will not release it, okay? Now, as people dig deeper, they learn about the CIA connections. They learn about the Indonesian citizenship, okay? This guy is a giant government-manufactured New World Order drone.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Here are some of the headlines up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com today. Dollar tumbles to all-time low versus Swiss franc. Geithner defends strong dollar policy, says that the dollar's strong and that they want to make it strong when their policy does the opposite on record. Kind of like the head of Apple saying, we're not spying on you, when it's admitted they are. Fed approaches crossroads as growth slows. Wealthy leaving Vegas mansions as foreclosure pain spreads. Coffee prices hit 34-year high. Cash-strapped California considers soda tax. Obama's broken promise, I'll help jobless blacks. Their joblessness is record levels. Still, they love him, though. It's identity politics. Sneak peek at the 2012 election. We're going to be breaking all of that down. And then I've got all these other interesting articles here in front of me. Here's Sky Television. That's Rupert Murdoch's Fox News in England and Europe. And I can't mention this without pulling up Fox News or AP. Anwar al-Awlaki, number 2 in al-Qaeda. AP says he's now the number 1 actual operational commander. Born in New Mexico, trained in New York. Admittedly, government protected. Hiding out continually at the Pentagon at high-level meetings with the Secretary of the Army. Oh, look, Sky News today. This is up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. We'll be definitely getting Steve Watson and Paul Watson to do some reports on this. Because remember Rashid Aswat? He was the head of the 7/7 bombings. And he turned out he was MI6 and was allowed to fly in and out of the country and protected. And when one group of police didn't know that he was government, they had to be advised to leave him alone. Oh, always running. Well, there's another Al-Qaeda commander. Headline, Al-Qaeda bomber worked for UK intelligence. Excuse me, I was thinking of a Lockheed working for U.S. intelligence. Al-Qaeda bomber worked for UK intelligence. I'm going to be getting to that. And remember, the underwear bomber worked for a Lockheed, according to the Pentagon. And on Christmas Day a year and a half ago, he was gotten on the plane by a sharp-dressed man without a passport or anything. And when the State Department got pressured about it, they admitted an unnamed U.S. intelligence agency told us to get him on the plane. That's a pretty good trick there in Amsterdam. Got to bypass the naked body scanners that were already in. Got to get on the plane. And then his little firecracker went off, so all of us get to have the government stick their hands down our pants. Oh, and insider groups get billions of dollars of taxpayer money. Al-Qaeda assassin accused of bombing Christian churches in a luxury hotel in Pakistan was working for British intelligence at the same time, according to leaked files. And it goes on to report that the British government's not denying these leaked files are real. The files were handed to The Guardian and The Telegraph. Also indicate that 35 terrorists held at Guantanamo Bay may have been released by extremist preachers and radicalized by extremist preachers in the UK. Well, yeah, they're British intelligence on record, just like every other major event. Now, this guy's got a long name, but the claim about Adil Haid al-Jazari bin Hamalini is made in secret reports on detainees at the U.S. military Guantanamo Bay prison camp obtained by the whistleblowing website WikiLeaks. The Algerian who was captured in Pakistan in 03 was described by interrogators as a facilitator, courier, kidnapper, and assassin for Al-Qaeda, and he just so happened to be government intelligence. Now, if you want me to describe this in a way if you're a new listener, I will use a pop culture example. How many of you have seen Revenge of the Sith? Episode 3 of the cheesy prequels. And quite frankly, 4, 5, and 6 are cheesy too, but when you're a little kid watching them, it kind of imprints on your brain and isn't seen as cheesy. But the point is, it's archetypal. How did a little-known senator from a backwater planet become the supreme dictator of the Galactic Empire, of the Galactic Republic, that he turned into an empire? Well, first he hired a group to do a blockade of his planet. Then he could complain that the Senate didn't do enough and project himself into a key position in the Senate. Then when terrorists attack the home world, he becomes chancellor by demanding that more be done and being a hawk. And by episode 3, you learn that he financed the terrorist, he financed the Trade Federation, and he double-crosses them as well, and then he destroys the Republic and wipes out the old guardians of the Republic. Now, you can simplify that. Hitler gets into power in early 33. He firebombs the Reichstag, declares civil emergency, didn't call it martial law. Then he attacks Poland, claiming Poland had attacked them by attacking his own military base. World War II starts. You know the rest of the story. And Gleiwitz is completely declassified, that the German military attacked their own base, dressed up some prison inmates as German and Polish troops, shot them, shot newsreel footage of it, and said the Poles, whose army was on horseback, had attacked them. That's like saying Haiti is going to attack the United States. You know, Haiti just blew up a Marine Corps base in Florida. I mean, no one would believe it. But that's what happened. Though the Poles did put up more of a fight than the French did with their ancient military. I mean, they had a pre-World War I style military up against the most modern military in the world had seen at that time. Very simple how this happens. You know, Hitler didn't just set up martial law overnight. He had to stage terror attacks and do some other things. He used a depression to also get into power, and he was given Western financing. And he didn't start World War II without staging a crisis. It's now been partially declassified that the 1898 blowing up of the battleship, the Maine, in Havana Harbor was staged. Everybody happened to be off the boat at the time on a special leave when something blew up in the boiler. And then it was blamed on the Spanish government. Remember the Maine, so the United States started its imperial march, taking over Cuba and then the Philippines, and it just so happened to have their fleets ready to sneak attack Spanish fleets at anchor at different ports. The U.S. just so happened to have its fleets all waiting off the coast with attack orders to hit the Spanish fleets at anchor at what was left of their empire in the Pacific. Sure. Believe that, I got a bridge I'll sell you. And then, of course, it's declassified. Gulf of Tonkin was used to get us into Vietnam. 4,000-plus U.S. advisors, 4,300 and change, had died from 1960 to 1964 before they staged the attack on the destroyers and then launched the war that killed 58,000 Americans, over a million Vietnamese. And you were a conspiracy theorist from 64 until 2004. In the media, in the 40-year anniversary, they declassified the LBJ tapes. The CIA admitted, NSA released the transcripts, totally staged, premeditatedly, nothing attacked the ships. And then they had the Gulf of Tonkin resolution 3 days later and off to the races. So see, this doesn't just happen with Darth Sidious in the imaginary world of Star Wars a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Okay? It happens here in the real world. Am I saying there aren't Muslim extremists in Saudi Arabia and other places that if they see you with a Bible, they will beat you to death? No, that goes on. Are Christians persecuted in other areas? Yes. And every area where Christians are persecuted is an ally of the globalists. The globalists have always hated Christians because they want to replace it with their collectivist, materialistic eugenics religion. They want to tear down any existing order. So while they're trying to tear down Islam, they're also trying to tear down Christianity because they want, and they're going to use both of them against each other. What did Albert Pike write in Morals and Dogma in 1877 and in subsequent letters, one of them held in the British Naval Archives, that they would have three world wars, one to take down Germany and to destroy Europe, a second one to bring in a League of Nations, is what he called it, and then they later got the UN. This is before the League of Nations was set up, 30, 40 years before. And then a final clash between the Muslims and the Christians. And when they're done with us, they bring in their collectivist world religion after tens of millions die in this next global clash of civilizations. And then you read all the globalist documents, the Club of Rome, the UN, the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, the PNAC documents. They talk about this clash of civilizations. And so they create al-Qaeda and have them attack the Russians, the Serbs. They have them overthrow Arab governments that are secular, the globalists don't like. Destabilization is the name of the game. Now, shifting gears, I'm going to skip this network break coming up because this is so important. And stations should not air their ads over this. Just a note, if folks miss it, the full video is up on Infowars.com right now, and we'll put that on screen for PrisonPlanet.tv listeners right now. The article, Secrets of the Royal Wedding Revealed. And some people will ask me, Alex, why are you covering this? Well, why not cover Michael Jackson? Why not cover Lindsay Lohan? Well, you're missing the forest for the trees here, okay? You're missing the boat. By using this hype and this ridiculous sycophantic worship of these hereditary dictators, by coming out with a headline like Secrets of the Royal Wedding Revealed, by coming out and talking about this, we'll get a lot of mainline dumbos who don't know the three branches of government, who probably don't even know who their grandma was, who don't know where their city council meets, who don't know who their governor is, people that only know the baseball scores or how to apply cosmetics to their face or how to tart themselves up, people who are sucked in to this modern brainwashing, they will now learn the rest of the story, or at least find a gateway to the rest of the story. You know, it's now come out that the royal family is having dictators from all over the world, Africa, the Middle East, you name it, hereditary dictators there at the meeting. And that's all over the headlines the last few days. London Guardian, royal wedding guest list includes friends, family, and a few dictators. And it continues, including dictators from Bahrain and others that have been machine gunning their population that dares protest. And in England, you're not allowed to protest the royal wedding anywhere. Slaves get the day off to get free cupcakes at the town squares and worship the European usurper dictators. Meanwhile, royal wedding guest list causes controversy. Yahoo News. There's a bunch of headlines dealing with this. Here's the Independent. Outrages dictators invited to royal wedding. Now, last night this video went up, and I saw the comments going, you're just saying they're Nazis because the royal family's German. No, folks, I have a lot of German blood on my mom's side, both Alsatian and German. My mom's pretty much mainly German. Okay, I have nothing against Germans, folks. Okay, I got sandy blonde hair and blue eyes. I'm not saying Germans are bad. I'm not saying the British are bad. I'm saying that the German royal family house controls the Netherlands, whose wealth is secret and may even eclipse the Queen. The Queen is German. Their name is Saxe-Coburg-Gotha. And they are usurpers of England. And King George III was a German. And King George III was our enemy that we declared independence of. And I make the point that Kim Jong-il's father put him in power in North Korea. Now he's putting his son in power. Pretty soon, why shouldn't they just wear purple flowing robes and crowns and then be worshipped by the little old ladies who have the teacups with the queen on them, these Anglophiles? And I mean, a lot of old ladies here in Texas that I've been in houses, they got the Queen of England hanging up. They think it's cute. They're taught it's fun. They're taught it's neat. They're taught that it's a great thing. They're taught that they should love it. And they make it this big event, and oh, no one can wait. It's so great. It's so wonderful. Everybody's got to watch it. Then I see the polls out. Actually, the vast majority of Americans hate it and don't like it. The vast majority of Brits hate it and don't like it. It's only the weakest-minded people. Do you understand that in England, they get billions of pounds a year, billions and billions of dollars converted in taxpayer money? They get welfare allowances for their scores of palaces apiece for gas allotments last winter when the old people had their gas turned off in the coldest winter, the second coldest winter since the 1650s. These are disgusting people. And I also see Canadians in the comments on InfoWars, Prison Planet, and on YouTube saying, how dare you say that the Queen suspended Parliament? It's only a figurehead. I have read and had parliamentary experts on this show, and it doesn't take that. The 20-plus Commonwealths, Australia, Canada, you name it. And they do it all the time, three times in the last 3 years. Harper would have been out. When the parliament votes to remove him, he's got to leave. Three times he has activated the governor general, who speaks for the queen, to have the governor general dissolve it. He would have been gone. But the elected parliament has been vetoed by the Queen of England, and you people are in such denial that some Canadians are up there calling me a liar, but I notice other Canadians actually post in the comments the actual law and show what's happening. And you can just Google the Queen of England cancels parliament in Canada, and you'll get all the mainstream news admitting it. See, these are the little dirty secrets, the elephant in the room that people don't want discussed. So that's my issue. The Queen of England is the biggest owner in BP. She's the second biggest owner in Dutch Royal Shell. The Dutch Queen is the second biggest owner in BP. These people literally own half the land in England. Ladies and gentlemen, the taxpayers shouldn't be paying for them. These are hereditary criminals so powerful that they give knighthoods. You know, there are hundreds of thousands of people in England who are given homes and money by the system. I've had it with it. It is so abhorrent towards a free society, and they dress it up in a Hollywood package, and we're supposed to love it. This is mind control. So here's my video. Help us have it go viral. We'll put it back on screen for everybody so I can give you the headline. I want to get this video, Secrets of the Royal Wedding Revealed. That's the name of the InfoWars article. The actual video is Secrets of the Royal Wedding Exposed. Help us make this go mega viral. I want this to get a million hits. I want this to get a million hits. And let's make it the number one Google search term today. Please, again, throw it back up on screen for me because I don't have it printed off, so I need to be able to read from it. Let's make this the number one search term today. Royal Wedding Exposed. Royal Wedding Exposed. And that will lead them to the YouTube video, and I'll have us add at the bottom of that Aaron Dykes article about it, keyword search, Royal Wedding Exposed, so that everybody will basically link through when this goes to number one. Let's make it number one together right now. Royal Wedding Exposed. Royal Wedding Exposed. Royal Wedding Exposed. Let's make it number one. Three words. Royal Wedding Exposed. Let's hit them. Let's hit them hard. Google. Go enter it over and over again. Royal Wedding Exposed. Here's my 8.5 minute breakdown of these monsters. Here it is.
Big news out of London Cross the Wire is what? Right around 6 a.m. this morning.
Finally,
that's right. Prince William and Kate Middleton are going to be married. They're engaged now. They're going to be married next spring or summer in London. There is a statement out of Buckingham Palace. Queen Elizabeth said she is absolutely delighted for her grandson and his bride to be.
The United States was founded on July 4th, 1776 in resistance to the hegemonic, despotic, tyrannical rule of King George III and the abuse against the colonies. And most of the British Parliament was against going to war with their fellow Englishmen because the king was unpopular there as well. It was known that he was a German king, his father being brought over to rule England. These people could barely speak English. Nothing against Germans, but you don't see me going over to Germany to rule them. The very essence of July 4th and 1776 is resistance to the disgusting House of Windsor. They didn't get that name until around World War I, because before that they were known as the Saxe-Coburg-Gothas. Notice that we hear their names. Prince William. You never hear his last name, do you? The slave public, many of them in England, who support these people, don't even know their last names because they don't want you knowing their last names. Three times in the last 3 years, the Parliament in Canada hasn't done what the Queen of England wants, so she suspended them, shut down the Parliament. Happened in the late 70s in Australia. This is a tyrannical group pushing eugenics, population reduction, all the carbon taxes. Prince Philip, the Queen's husband, another German royal prince, is a supporter of eugenics. His cousin, who was the prince married to the Queen of the Netherlands, unadmitted Nazi, unadmitted eugenicist. The point is, these are the most filthy, degenerate people you can imagine. She owns more than half of Canada, more than half the land in England, and then she's paid by the government for her palaces and all the rest of it. It's disgusting. And to watch U.S. television fawning, Fox, CNN, CBS, all of them. Oh, it's so wonderful. No one in America can wait until next week. The way they're hyping it.
1 week until the royal wedding. This is exciting stuff. I mean, it's hard to, I mean, the energy is just palpable.
Young couples get married, they're just hoping that some bank will be nice enough to give them a mortgage.
Yeah.
These folks have a number of palaces to pick from.
NBC News is launching a free royal wedding app for the iPad.
This is truly a love story that captures everybody's attention.
This goes back to Edward Bernays 100 years ago saying, look, to make politicians and royalty popular, we'll have Hollywood stars come to banquets and events with them. We'll have music stars. We'll have other people go there to basically make these elites be seen as celebrities themselves. You know why America was founded? Because under the imperial royal system in Europe and England, if you weren't part of the inside group who had basically the patronage of the crown, where they gave you land, houses, jobs, you couldn't even get a license to be a carpenter, a license to be a blacksmith, a license to brew beer, unless their local lords gave you the authorization. So it wasn't just that you had to pay outrageous taxes. You had to get their permission to even have a job, to have a profession. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the essence of globalism, is big mega corporations, many of which are owned and controlled by the German royal family that runs England and, of course, the Netherlands. the whole system they've set up and they promote is about this new global corporate system worldwide that through government power shuts down their competition and transfers the people's wealth through taxes to the offshore cartels. These people are parasites. They're disgusting. They're filthy. And if we want to reclaim the spirit of 1776, we should realize how abhorrent monarchy is in all of its forms. And that includes the UN and the new royalty under the unelected EU bureaucratic system, where over 80% of England's laws, even though they're not part of the EU, are made by EU bureaucrats. Please, everyone, remember the spirit of 1776. I know a lot of folks in England are saying they're going to go out and protest it. First, the government said you've got the day off slaves. You don't have to go to work on the big royal wedding coming up next week. And then the Republicans, that's a group that want to get rid of the monarchy in England, said we're going to protest in the streets. And the government said you're not allowed to protest. Meanwhile, they criticize Syria for banning protest. So anytime you see some mind-numb zombie talking about how exciting the wedding is or how they watched it, you're watching a bunch of twitly, inbred idiots that can't even dress themselves and have valets. And until just a few decades ago, they try to keep it quiet. They have people that wipe their butts for them, groom of the stool. Do you know the history of America? Do you know it started in resistance to this very usurping German family who aren't even British? Do you know that most of the English hate the royal family? Do you know they have a secret police system that basically threatens people that talk about getting rid of the monarchy? Do you know that Princess Diana on record told her butler and others that made a videotape saying Prince Charles has threatened me, he's going to kill me in a fake auto accident? These people are absolutely anathema. And the servile folks that have been raised to worship these people and all the little old ladies that think it's cute. Well, that's why we're enslaved. That's why our country's bankrupt. That's why we're going to hell in a handbasket. Because you've forgotten what it is to be an American. Or perhaps you were never even taught. But now you're going to learn what it's like to be a subject, a slave. What is royalty? Royalty is Kim Jong-il in North Korea. His father took over and then gave him power, and now he's giving power to his son. Why don't they just put gold crowns on their heads and dress up with long flowing robes? Maybe then Americans would celebrate the royal wedding of Kim Jong-il's son. Oh, but they wear little military uniforms and we know how clownish it is. But somehow we've been tricked that wearing big gold crowns and flowing robes isn't more ridiculous and stupid. America has been great because it's not about what race you are or what family pedigree or how murderous your great-granddaddy was. It's about what you individually can do. It's about what you individually have to offer, being an inventor, a trailblazer, an explorer, someone who's brave, an artist, someone who has incredible literature in their soul. These royal crony capitalist, non-free market systems always wage war against the individual. They always wage war against the productive. And the British royal family are at the head of pushing world population reduction. They are at the head of one-child policies. They are at the head of eugenics. They taught the Nazis everything they knew about eugenics. Do you understand this is mainline history? The King of England had to advocate at the beginning of World War II because he wanted to merge with Hitler. The British royal family come from a long line of dictators. They're oppressive. They're anti-liberty and freedom.
All right, folks, we'll be right back with the second hour live. Be talking to Bill Still. Let's Google the term royal wedding exposed. Let's do it together.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
So much is happening in our world today that while Bill Still is on with us, the first 30 minutes we're going to talk about the problems, who the private banking cartel is, what fractional reserve banking is, the system they've set up, the fact that it's a mathematical certainty under the system they've created that we will go bankrupt because the government's not issuing the currency and credit. The private banks are, and they've set it up where they have to create debt to even issue the currency. And then in the last 30 minutes of the interview, we'll get into solutions with Bill Still.
and also take some phone calls. But Bill Still, back in the mid-90s, put out an amazing film that they've since revised and updated that we promote and sell discounted at Infowars.com. It's over 3 hours, two discs. It's the Money Masters, How Banks Create the World's Money. But he made a new film last year, updated, shot, you know, in higher def, traveling all over the world, showing the banker cartel, Iceland's fight against them. And Iceland's now said they're not paying this fake debt back. They don't owe it. And it's, they call the banker's bluff. It turns out that over 90% of it is owed by the private banks, not the people. The Secret of Oz, Solutions for a Broken Economy. All of these are available at Infowars.com. And now, just out today, we've got it in stock. No More National Debt, Bill Still, world's first interactive book, and it's got scans that you can do that pull up videos and news articles and documents throughout the already thick book. You want to understand why your oil prices are going up? You want to understand dollar devaluation? You want to understand the monetarist and what they're doing? It's all in No More National Debt, Bill Still. Excellent new book that he's written, available at Infowars.com. Bill, we're going to break here in a few minutes, and we'll recap when we come back. But here's the headlines. IMF bombshell, age of America nears end. We'll cover some more of those headlines when we come back. But it's really happening. The wages of letting this cartel run things are here. And in your film, The Money Masters, you know, put out 15 years ago, you traveled the world. You went to the National Archives. And I want to go through some of those quotes. I didn't give you a heads up, so maybe during the break you can dig them up. And the experts you interviewed, the Depression wasn't a mistake. It wasn't an accident. It was engineered. So I want to talk about the system we're under so people then understand the system that your research shows we should move to. Good to have you here with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on again.
We're really coming to the edge here with the dollar. Briefly, in the 2 minutes we've got left, we'll come back into the full body of the interview. Are we at the precipice right now?
Well, yeah, but we don't need to be there. You know, we just don't need a system where we have to incur a national debt. The thing that people don't realize, even Paul Ryan, head of the House Budget Committee, will say inane stuff on TV, like what we need to do is just cut the budget deficit and thereby reduce the national debt. It ain't going to happen. You can't reduce the national debt. To reduce the national debt reduces the national money. No, the only way to fix this, the only way, is to get out of the Federal Reserve box, to get out of the debt money system. That's our only hope.
Well, you're absolutely right. And so when we come back, if you've got time, grab some of those quotes that are on record. Let's describe the system we're under, what their goal is, their admission that they want to destroy free market, destroy wealth. It's this false crony, Madoff, Ken Lay type banker system that seeks to consolidate all power and control versus the system that our forebears set up. And there's a debate here between kind of the Ron Paul model, the gold silverback, versus the Lincoln greenback model. And again, we'll get to that at the bottom of the hour. The first two segments, the long ones coming up, Bill, I want to really give you the floor because people need to understand what's happening currently by knowing the past, to give us a history lesson, to go over who these people are and the breakdown of the same families that engineered our Great Depression, because I know your research, I'm not putting words in your mouth, are the ones engineering what's happening today. And I think it's a little more than just ignorance with Paul Ryan. They're trying to sell us on the austerity of gutting everything to transfer all wealth to the bankers instead of cutting off the bankers and turning loose the power of true interest-free credit, basically, to the general public. Bill Still is our guest. The book available at Infowars.com needs to get out there to everybody.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
All right, for the rest of the hour, documentary filmmaker, author, researcher Bill Still is our guest. I cannot impress on you enough that we're in a war against the globalists, the private banking cartel that sets up currency Ponzi schemes that are issued and controlled by private interest. And as Thomas Jefferson said, if we ever allow private banks to control the issuance of currency and credit, we will, our children will wake up homeless on the continent our forefathers conquered. He went on to say, banking institutions are more dangerous than standing armies. In fact, we're about to go to Bill Still, but pull that quote up for me, the full Jefferson that I keep quoting. If you just search Thomas Jefferson, banks are more dangerous than standing armies. It'll pull that quote up. The general public knows gas prices are going up, but they don't know why. Dollar devaluation. And they don't know who's behind it. The Republicans are scapegoating the welfare people. The welfare people are being scapegoated by the banksters against the middle class. If you don't get rid of the banking cartel and the fractional reserve banking, nothing will be fixed. And we're going to go over the mathematics of that, the history of that, who these cartels are. This is premeditated. Here are the headlines just in the last few days. IMF bombshell, age of America nears end. The globalists have moved everything to China, set up trade deals that are unfair because they've moved there. China is talking about dumping their purchases by 2/3 of U.S. Treasury bills. Right as the Fed says they may not go to QE3, monetization of debt. This is the information that is coming out. And we also have the headlines today that the Swiss franc is at all-time record highs against the dollar. Gold and silver surging in prices. Again, dollar tumbles to all-time low versus Swiss franc. Geithner defends strong dollar policy. Fed approaches crossroads as growth slows. Wealthy leaving Vegas mansions as foreclosure pain spreads. And I'm telling you, if you cut off the welfare moms, I'm not for having them dependent, but at least some of the money they're given of taxpayers gets put back into the economy. The banksters, they use it to buy up capital items. They use it to consolidate. And his new book, Bill Still, No More National Debt, that breaks all this down, is an interactive book. He'll tell you about that later in the hour. It's all available at InfoWars.com, along with his films, the newest, The Secret of Oz, and The Money Masters. These are the key tools. I've been using Money Masters for 15 years to wake up people, to show them the history, to understand what's unfolding. And now polls show over 80% want to audit or abolish the Fed. So folks are getting past the puppet politicians and to the real illegitimate power behind the throne. Bill Still, you've got the floor. Break down the history, the premeditation, what we're facing, what we're entering right now. Then we'll get into solutions.
Well, first of all, auditing the Fed is not going to do any good, because if the Fed disappeared tomorrow, absolutely nothing would change. It's not the Fed. It's the commercial banks, which the Fed pretends to regulate, when in fact the Fed does nothing but cover for the commercial banks. It's disguised to look like part of the government, so we will think that the government is regulating the banks, when in fact just the reverse is true.
It's the policy holding company. It's the policy holding company.
The Fed is just covering for the banks. That's why the deception of calling it the Federal Reserve System, to make people think it's part of the government. When I was doing the Money Masters, the first person I sent the first cut of it to was Milton Friedman, Nobel Prize-winning economist. And I was surprised that he even would look at it, but he did. And I'll never forget when he called back after he'd seen it the first time, this is what he said. He said, "Boy, if you kill the Fed and don't do anything about fractional reserve lending, you've done nothing." And, you know, it kind of shocked me. And so we had to rejigger the edit on the Money Masters, because he really understood it to a much greater depth. I was much more, let's kill the Fed and all that kind of stuff. But you have to understand, it's not the Fed. It's the commercial banks behind the Fed and their fractional reserve lending system that we've got to fix. If we do those two things, we eliminate the ability of commercial banks to lend money they don't have, which is called fractional reserve lending. And number two, eliminate the ability of the federal government to borrow, then we fix this, we're free of them forever, and we can finally have a sovereign free nation once again, with at very minimum the total elimination of income taxes. So I think that's a pretty good payoff. And all we have to do, the only thing we have to do to control it, is to control the quantity of money that's issued. That's all we have to do. Now, that might be easier said than done, but you know what? Controlling the quantity of money, or the quantity of money debt-free getting out of control, is one heck of a lot better than what we've got today, the quantity of money being out of control when it's being borrowed. So that's the basic situation. Now, you said, why are they after us? Well, they're after us because America still is the freest nation in history. It is the only nation that repeatedly and throughout its history has opposed the central bankers' scam. And they know that we are the great danger to not only them and their this massive influx of the way they're able to centralize world money, but to the entire New World Order scheme. They know America is the target. They know they've got to try to take down America. And this is still up for grabs. It's still up for grabs whether or not humanity can successfully rule itself. That is the basic question that's at risk right now. Are we able to self-govern, or do we slip back into serfdom where the rich guys of the world control absolutely everything? That's what's at risk, and that's what InfoWars is doing such a great job at.
And they control it through fraud. So let's start at the beginning, a brief history of money, what the money changers do, the program they're carrying out. Republicans will say, what's wrong with rich guys? These aren't rich guys that invented a computer or a widget or a video game or who know how to hit a baseball. They do this through fraud, and they've always used booms and busts to consolidate power. Break it down.
Well, that's exactly right. This is the rich guys' club of the world attempting to monopolize all the money and thereby monopolize the political power as well. That's the problem when a nation borrows its money into existence. It's not just the interest on the debt. For example, last year we spent $204 billion just paying interest on the national debt, something that is entirely unnecessary. We don't have to do it. We don't have to have a system constructed that way. And according to the Congressional Budget Office, the CBO, even by their conservative estimates, by 2020, the amount of money we will be paying just on interest on this totally unnecessary national debt is $1 trillion. That is entirely and completely unsustainable. We won't get to 2020 with that in that type of situation. Something is going to happen before then, so there's a crossroads coming up. We can either continue down their system, and their solution that will be offered will be an international currency after another complete collapse of the American economy, backed by gold, the gold-backed money thing. That'll be the decision point, or we can go to a debt-free money issued by our own elected government. That's the decision point we're coming up headlong on, and that's why we've got to try to get the word out. Now,
okay, Bill, I want to get into some of the history of this and what happened in the Great Depression and what you see currently in the economic climate, but you mentioned something about 5 minutes ago that I want listeners to know is not pie in the sky. You said we can get rid of the income tax. We didn't have the income tax, for those that don't know, until the same year we got the private banking front company of the Federal Reserve in place. It's part of the Communist Manifesto. The bankers actually want collectivism for the general public to transfer our wealth. We built the nation without the income tax, and the income tax does not go to run this country. So explain that to people.
Absolutely. That's why it was used to back up the massive new debt that they knew the government was going to accumulate with the institution of the Federal Reserve Act. And it's just absolutely unnecessary. This country was built on tariffs and excise taxes alone. That's sufficient income for the nation. And you don't need a national federal income tax. So you can get rid of both in one fell swoop. Now, you mentioned something interesting about China. You know, the only trick, what you're going to see here, make no mistake about it. We are moving into a hyperinflationary period. There's absolutely no question about it. You're seeing it in commodities and gas prices right now. You're going to see it across the board in price hikes and everything by the end of this year. And so because the central bankers only have one trick up their sleeve, all they can do is to devalue the individual national monies by printing more of it, by actually lending more of it. See, I made the same mistake. And so where does all that extra money go? It continues to flood into China. So what did we see just a couple weeks ago when China raised its interest rates for the fourth time since October? It's because their annualized inflation rate at this point is 60. That's 60% per year. China doesn't do very well under their current system in that type of inflationary environment, because the folks on the East Coast who still have jobs can still barely make it. But when you double and triple basic food stuff, foodstuffs. For the peasants on the inland, you're going to get social unrest, and that's what China fears more than anything else. But there's nothing they can do because all the other Western economies are inflating their currencies pretty much on an equal basis, and all that extra money.
Well, absolutely. Look at our mainstream pro-globalist media. They tell us China is Valhalla. Steve Watson's brother, Paul Watson, was just one of our writers, was just over in China for 2 weeks. An unmitigated hellhole in the cities he was in, homeless people everywhere, feces on the ground, riots going on daily, troops marching in the streets. And we're told China's this wondrous model of the New World Order. That shows how our media is lying to us.
Well, absolutely. I mean, China is going to suffer unrest because of this massive inflation, but they have no alternative. They have no other way to go other than to hyperinflate all currencies. Now, the Swiss currency and the Canadian currency and the Australian currency are less prone to that, so that's why you're seeing them change in relation to the value of the dollar.
That's right. Mill still stay there. As Bob Chapman said, he recommended both those currencies years ago. To Bill Still of the Money Masters, the Secret of Oz films, both available at Infowars.com. I hope you get them and get them out to everybody you know so they understand what we're facing, and the new book, No More National Debt. Now, I want to go back to the Great Depression. We'll get into the new book and solutions coming up to what really happened there, because if you research the history of it, it's on record the big central banks maneuvered to actually crash the market and then get people on Social Security so they'd be tied into the Ponzi scheme and go along with the expansion of the domestication. And now we're headed into the next phase of getting rid of the free market, imploding America, blaming capitalism, and moving towards a total hegemonic system run by the very same private banks at a world level.
And I did. Back at the occasion of Milton Friedman's 90th birthday, which a piece that ran on NPR, because Friedman researched it and found out that the cause of the Great Depression was because the newly formed Federal Reserve System, which was supposed to prevent such depressions, deliberately contracted the amount of money in circulation by a factor of one-third and then held that money out of circulation, and that was the cause of the Great Depression. Depression on the national level is just like a depression in your own personal level. If you don't have money in your wallet, it's a depression. It's the same thing. If they increase the amount of money in circulation, like they did through the last 2000 through 2008, for example, then you have boom times and house prices zoom skyward, and all they have to do is contract the currency a little bit, and the economy turns back down. And of course, they're fully prepared to financially gain from that sort of thing, and they do. They buy up assets for pennies on the dollar. This is something throughout the history of the United States they've done no less than half a dozen times, if not 10 times, time and time again, milking the economy. Economy, milking the wealth, asset stripping the American people. But, you know, we still have the system we have in place. This system can still survive.
Well, we're going to get to that in a moment, but going back to the authors of the crimes that we're now witnessing and all this pain, this time it was different than the Great Depression, though. They first gave themselves tens of trillions of fiat, digital dollars that they hoarded and then loaned out at 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, some credit card APRs, and we'll put the CNN headline up, 79.9 now. So that bailout, they admit they even restricted money more in the last 2.5 years, hoarding it for themselves as they got the country deeper in debt, so that when everything finally goes under, they're going to come in flush with cash as the saviors, like carpetbaggers with off-the-chart interest rates.
Well, Well, it was worse than that. I mean, we found out in the congressional hearings after the 2008 debacle that J.P. Morgan and Citi were lending out 52 times the amount of money they had, not just the 10 to 12 times allowed by international banking rules, but 52 times. Freddie and Fannie were leveraged out 72 times, and Goldman Sachs was leveraged out 333 times. And then about 4 months ago, Obama got on TV and said, you know, we need to just end the reserve requirement altogether. In other words, 333 times is not sufficient for these bankers. Only infinity will do. And that's the kind of system we have right now, where there's a group of people that can essentially print money in their own bank electronically, lend it out to us at interest if they want, or in this particular case, now they can print this money out and play in the derivatives market, where they can make far more profits than they can at lending us fixed mortgages for 30 years.
It makes loan sharking look like a moral operation, and these very same banking cartels, J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, Citibank, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, they're the big six, quote, U.S. Holders of the private Federal Reserve stock. You got the Bank of England and others involved, and they keep that secret very tightly held. I mean, since when do we have a private group who Congress can't even find out secrets from, running roughshod over everything? And 2 years ago, Greenspan, former Fed head, told Lair NewsHour, I'm sure you've seen the clip, Bill, that we are above the law. No branch of government can touch us. We can do whatever we want. I mean, you might as well say he's God.
Well, that's what the Bible says, that the borrower shall be servant to the lender. And that's the other, there are two problems with this the national debt, the interest that's incurred. Number one, it's the interest is compounding and we have to pay it. But number two, equally important, but never talked about, is the control that interest gives people. You know, also,
we're going to talk about it when we get back. Long segment coming up. We'll get into solutions with Bill Still.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
You can't back down.
Gonna stand my ground.
We're being enslaved financially by a bunch of fraudsters publicly. For years, they wouldn't give the Congress where the bailout money went, and finally, Bloomberg and others sued and got it. Trillions of dollars to foreign banks, to domestic media, payoffs to newspapers. Private banks get our money that we've got to pay interest on, and then they pay it to newspapers and MSNBC to come out and attack the Tea Party that's out saying, abolish the Fed, audit the Fed. And of course, Ron Paul points out that, yes, abolishing the Fed won't do anything, or auditing it won't, but expose what the banks are doing that control it. So it looks like a paradox, but it's not really. Now, Bill Still is our guest. We're about to go back to him here in just a moment. I want to remind listeners that this radio broadcast is also listener-supported, if you believe in the information. Plus, when you get the books, the videos, the T-shirts at Infowars.com, your purchase of the books and the videos and the ball caps spreads the word, enlightens and informs you to a higher level. And then you can make copies of my films. You can show my films at events locally in your town or to friends you invite over for dinner. Books like Big Brother, The Orwellian Nightmare Come True by Mark Dice. Excellent book breaking down how Orwellian we've gotten, paralleling it with the book. You can get it with Jesse Ventura's 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read. Another excellent read. And get one of my best-selling films for free, whatever film you choose, that deal, at Infowars.com. Also, Jason Burmese's latest documentary that I produced, Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined, going through their history, their goals, their operations. It's all so important, and it's all available at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And, of course, both films made by Bill Still, The Money Masters and The Secret of Oz, and his new book, of course, just out and just now available at Infowars.com. No More National Debt. We're going to be getting into that now, into the solution area. But you got... You got cut off by the break there, Bill. When we talk about we won't back down, we can't back down. There is no way out except by defeating these people. So to get into solutions, in a nutshell, explain the current monetary system versus what the founders established and your well-researched alternative of government-controlled and transparent fiat for credit to empower the individual to create a level playing field versus the globalist controlled fiat that's only used for them at interest. And then the third way, the gold silver route. I mean, and people email me and say, well, why do you have Bill Still on and then have Ron Paul on? Well, this is not a cult, ladies and gentlemen. We're here to get you thinking. I have on who I think's interesting. I have on who I think's well-researched. I have different perspectives and different views in complex, multivariate, multifaceted understandings as the lay of the land changes. Like, I've studied history. I like and tend to agree with Bill Still's model that a lot of top economists agree with and is a system the bankers really get angry about, especially with Lincoln. But I know that they're not going to go with that system at this time. So under the current system, gold and silver are going to go up. So it isn't a contradiction that I'm entertaining what he's saying, but also saying gold and silver's great because look at silver's up 7-8 times what it was 10 years ago. Gold's up more than 400%, four times and growing. That's a consequence of what the globalists have done. And Bill's right. The University of Texas, the other big universities, the dictators, the banksters, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, they all hoard gold and silver. They are positioning it where in the future it could be $5,000 for gold and $200 for silver. That's a potential. And yes, I would probably, even as a gold and silver bug at that time, oppose a system that put them back in the driver's seat. But it's, again, reality is very complex. It's not just, well, do you support Ron Paul's model or Bill Still's model? Or I'm here respecting you enough to have a wide spectrum breakdown. Okay, Bill, I want to take a few calls later in the hour, maybe hold you 5 minutes over in the next hour, or maybe even 20 if you can do it before Wayne Madsen comes back in. He's busy doing another radio interview anyways. He's down here visiting us in town with some breaking news. The toll-free number of folks have questions for you, not long diatribes because we're almost out of time here, but simple questions that you'd like to get answered or complex questions put in a simple way for Bill Still, 1-800-259-9231. We'd love to hear from you. We're just limited on time, 800-259-9231. Now, getting into what the monetary system is currently, the three different models that we've discussed, and your system and why you think it's the best system.
Well, first of all, just let me say a couple things that you said a lot of stuff. First of all, QE2 not happening, that's a complete non-starter. QE3 will happen, absolutely. They have no other tricks in their bag. Do we want rich guys in the system? Absolutely we want rich guys in the system. But, you know, the fifth, what we want is a capitalist system. What we don't have is a capitalist system. We have a monopolistic system. The fifth plank of the Communist Manifesto says centralization of credit in the hands of the state by means of a national bank with state capital and an exclusive monopoly. That's what we have today. That's not what we need. What we need is money created in the public interest without public debt. It's as simple as that. There's two things that you have to do to make it happen. Number one, you forbid further government borrowing. Number two, you forbid the ability of commercial banks to lend money they don't have. We're not trying to kill banks. We're not trying to kill interest. You know, we need banks. We need people to be able to get interest to risk their capital. That's the capitalist system. But we don't have that system. We have the monopolistic capitalist system. Secondly, Obama's stimulated the economy with about $1.4 trillion. But think about it. The banks that get that money get to multiply that by a factor of 10 or 12. There's only $14 trillion in the American economy. So this $1.4 trillion, when multiplied by 10, makes another $14 trillion. In other words, they've doubled the amount of money in the system. That's for sure inflationary. We just haven't seen the full impact yet. It usually takes about 24 months to work its way through the system. Next, you keep referring to this Jefferson quote. I hate to tell you, but on chapter 32 of my book, I have a whole chapter on fake quotes. I try to clean up some of these quotes. That quote happens to be a fake.
Well, I know that that's in debate, but I mean, I've got books that are over 100 years old with not just that quote, but tons of quotes by the founders. I've actually read some of the books written by the founders. That's all they talked about was the private central banks. I mean, that's what Lincoln talked about. That's what Jackson talked about.
Absolutely, but there's no verifiable source on that particular quote. Jefferson said plenty of other stuff similar to it, but not that particular
quote.
Okay,
well, let's go through some of those quotes.
Well, I'd have to dig them out of the book.
Well, that's why I was at the start of the show saying I did want to go through a few quotes. Because, I mean, the founding of our country mainly dealt with the monetary systems. Jackson, it was all about the monetary system. I mean, Bill, break some of that down, because this fight we're facing has been the fight that we've always been facing in any free society if they're going to have a shot at liberty. You know, when you say, yeah, we want rich guys in free market, this is the opposite. These guys use their monopoly over currency and credit to dominate and shut down their competition.
Right, they make the power pyramid very, very steep. That's the ultimate goal of the New World Order, to have that power pyramid as steep as possible, where it's very tall and not very wide. In other words, very few people hold almost all the power at the top. And the bottom portion, the we the people portion, hold very little power at all. I want to say something else about gold money that I think will make sense to your skeptical audience, and that is, suppose that tomorrow your senator calls up and says, you know what, I've got a secret for you. We've got this gold money bill that's absolutely going to pass Congress in 2 weeks. What would the first thing you do? You'd go out and you'd buy all the gold you could. Well, what do you think the rich guys of the world would do? You know, in other words, they can corner the backing of the money, and thereby your money is no longer in the public interest. It's completely manipulatable. In order for money to be in the public interest, it has to be valueless.
Well, let's go over the system that you developed, how you developed it, obviously proposed by other economists in the past. But here's a quote that I have dug up the provenance on. And I, by the way, I disagree with you on that, Jefferson. Maybe we can consult. And Bill, you know, you flattered me by naming The Secret of Oz off of your research. The time you were on my show and you said you heard me say that The Wizard of Oz was all about silver and gold-backed money and the fight against the banks, and you thought it was crazy. Then you went and looked it up and found out it was a famous play. I actually researched that Jefferson quote one time, and there is some providence in it and some letters that have very similar things said, and they believe it comes out of a news article quoting him posthumously shortly after his death, right around the same day that who was the other guy that died on the same day? He was a former president. Yeah, John Adams. But going back to this, what about this quote? I see in the future a crisis approaching that unnerves me and causes me to tremble for the safety of my country. Corporations have been enthroned, and an era of corruption will follow, that the money power of the country will endeavor to prolong its reign by working upon the prejudices of the people until the wealth is aggregated in the hands of a few and the republic destroyed.
I'm not sure, and I don't want to be quoted, but I think that is also not verifiable. This is according. I did a lot of research on this in the final throes of writing this book, because there are
people out there who are using.
Yeah, I know. There are some people.
But I mean, did Lincoln issue the greenback? Did Lincoln say no to the bankers? Were there thousands of news articles written about Andrew Jackson? I killed the bank at the Hermitage on his deathbed.
Well, but see, that's not true either. I went to the Hermitage and looked at his tomb. That quote is not there. I made a mistake in the Money Masters.
I've been to the Hermitage in Tennessee. I wasn't talking about it being a quote on his grave. He was quoted as telling the people when he died there that I killed the bank. I mean, that was published in the papers.
That may be true, but I reported in the Money Masters that was on his tomb, and that was not correct. So I'm just trying to clean up some of the stuff, because there are people.
So basically, the president's never fought the banks then in their whole history.
Excuse me?
I'm being sarcastic.
No, there have been presidents who have fought against them, and that's why the New World Order folks hate the United States so much, because there's an outbreak of anti-New World Order, anti-central bank control every so often, and we're about to see another one.
Well, shifting gears, let's get into what we're basically dealing with here with the monetary choices we have, the ideas you cover in your book versus some of the other ideas that are out there.
Right. Well, the current Republican plan is austerity, just as it is in Great Britain and all the other nations of Europe, that we can reduce spending enough so that we can start to pay down these national debts. And as I pointed out before, that's never going to happen. The Republican plan just isn't even in the ballpark of being able to pay down the national debt, even if that was a good idea, and it's not. You can't fix the problem this way. You have to get out of the debt money system altogether.
And by the way, in the Great Depression, they also cut spending, and that only intensified it.
Okay, well, that's I can't really speak to that.
No, I'm saying I agree with you that in the middle of a depression, when you do cut spending, it obviously only stalls the economy out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, what is a depression by definition? It's less money in circulation. And so cutting more money out of the system is not going to work. What you have to do is cut the debt out of the system, and then the economy would revive immediately.
Now, describe your monetary plan.
Sure.
For folks.
Sure. Well, as I said, the first thing, if government can't borrow, then it has to balance its budget and face the political consequences of new spending programs immediately, because it would have to raise taxes to pay for them immediately. Sovereign nations don't have to borrow. Sovereign nations can create. Enforcement, we probably need a constitutional amendment that caps the quantity of money. That was Milton Friedman's suggestion, having it raised only with population. The Chicago plan back in the 1930s offered two alternatives: to tie it to inflation or to tie it to GDP. I think GDP would be more difficult because you can't rely on any government economics numbers at this point. They're cooking all the books. There's no honesty anywhere to be found as far as an economic numbers. But I'd be willing to leave that to a panel of experts above my level to decide that. Secondly, you have to eliminate this ability of the banks to lend money they don't actually have. Now, those are the two federal solutions. There's another solution at the state level that helps states out right away.
State bank?
The Bank of North Dakota model, whereby states can create their own state chartered bank completely outside of the Federal Reserve system, and thereby they can create their own credit so they don't have to borrow money through bonded indebtedness from the big New York money center banks. This is not a far-out experiment. This has been working in North Dakota for 90 years. That's why North Dakota is the only state with a balanced budget. It has the highest birth rate, all kinds of other good economic numbers coming out of North Dakota, and it's something that every state should employ. And when you see legislative sessions in states start at the beginning of next year, you're going to see several states fight on this.
Well, let's go back here. Some listeners are like, give the government the power to just issue fiat? That's crazy. Well, they've already given it to the private offshore banks.
That's exactly right.
And that's why I go back to Lincoln. He tried to get financing for the war, regardless of what your view is on the war out there, listeners. And he couldn't get it at a reasonable rate, so he just issued his own currency. Give folks a history lesson.
Well, right. We've gone to this every time our backs were to the wall. For example, in colonial America, there was not much gold and silver. So the only way these economies got off the ground were individual states printing their own currency, individual banks and states printing their own currency. But the problem was that no one knew how much each state was printing, and so it was a very difficult system. So when they nationalized it with the continental currency, the state system was so effective that the British government outlawed it and put us all on a gold-only money system, and that caused, as it always does, an immediate depression, and according to Franklin, that was the root cause of the Revolutionary War. Then when we actually were engaged in the Revolutionary War, we had a national money called the Continentals, and of course people point to this as being the Weimar Republic of the Revolutionary America, but such was not the case at all. All you have to do is control the quantity. Congress controlled the quantity of issuance of Continentals very well. It was the British parked two counterfeiting ships in Boston Harbor, and they counterfeited the currency massively, and this is very well documented.
Because they understand how important monetary systems are. For folks that don't know how the globalist are waging economic war on us. Look at the two British counterfeiting ships flooding the market so the colonies couldn't buy goods.
That's exactly right. All you have to do to make this system work is control the quantity that's issued. That's what all of economics is all about anyway, to create a stable economy. If you create a stable economy, then the economy thrives.
That's right. Money is just the symbol of agreed upon exchange to grease the skids of the market. But the banksters, they make it king, and they make it out of nothing, and we bow down and give them all our liberty and freedom for it. It's sick.
Shackles. Don't want no shackles on me. Don't want no shackles. Don't want no shackles on me. I sit down with Big Brother.
All right, we're going to take about 15, 20 minutes of phone calls the next hour. Then Wayne Madsen is going to be in studio with us again. Bill Still's our guest. Really an amazing work. His new book, No More National Debt. And it deals with an alternate system to the von Mises alternate with a government-issued fiat system. That is what Lincoln did. It is what the Founding Fathers did for a time. I think this is all open for debate. I'm not in either camp. I want to get rid of the private Federal Reserve and the private banks that are behind it that have engaged in all this fraud. And Bill Still's done a lot of research into this, and there's a lot of major academics like Friedman and others that supported it. People can then also say that, you know, Friedman supported shock doctrine politically and that the bankers have kind of put this idea out there in case they get publicly exposed. They think they can hand the power to Congress and then Congress will do favors to certain groups. But if the public is genuinely educated about monetary issues, that won't be possible. But again, we're having a larger debate. Going over some more of these quotes, he did document the provenance of this one. If Congress has the right under the Constitution to issue paper money, it was given them to use themselves, not to be delegated to individuals or corporations, Andrew Jackson. And we do know the entire fight has always been against this money power, as we are now witnessing it. How many times did they try to kill Andrew Jackson?
At least twice, if not three times. The one where they stuck two pistols right in his stomach, literally in his stomach, and both pistols misfired.
That sounds like Providence, doesn't it?
Absolutely Providence. Jackson killed the bank so good that they didn't get it back the way they wanted it until 1913, so for about 70 years. So, yeah, he was a great hero.
We're going to go to break in a moment and come back and take some calls and talk more about the book, and you're going to dig out some of the bona fide quotes. And to be clear, I was talking to Bill during the break. A lot of these are quotes that come out in parliaments, or they're taken from other quotes, and then if one or two words get changed over the hundreds of years and they claim they don't have providence. I have studied the Federalist Papers, the Anti-Federalist Papers, the debates. I've got old reprints of newspapers from Jackson's time with the cover of him fighting the Hydra of the bankers. That's what this is all. I mean, what about the fights in 1913 leading up to the Federal Reserve Act? All of the Lindbergh quotes, and I mean, that's all congressional record.
Oh yeah, that's all perfect.
Yeah, so the system, you know, wants to rewrite history. It's kind of like those academics. They had 5 years ago, 6 years ago, one of them got lost his tenure up in Chicago, claiming that the founders weren't into guns and only 10% of Americans in the colonies own guns and that the Second Amendment wasn't really what it was meant for. There's a lot of rewriting going on out there, and they throw things up to try to, actually America was anti-gun and the United States was, always loved the Bank of England. And they love the, banking acts. I mean, that's just not the case.
No, it's not the case at all. In fact, it was the core reason for the American Revolution. Just like anything else, if somebody takes all the money out of your wallet, you're not happy.
But do you agree with my analysis that money is just a symbol of energy that we agree upon to exchange goods and that the globalists have just turned it into the idol? They've turned it into the energy itself?
Well, they might be able to control the quantity, and it's not difficult for them to control the quantity of money if that money is made of metal or based on metal. Money has to be valuable.
Bill, your phone was cutting out. Are you on a cordless?
Yeah. I'm not on a cell phone.
No, that's all right. Just we have a radio checklist. We may have just you never do speakerphone. You never do cordless, just because they do that. It's 101. Well, we're gonna try to reconnect with you.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're going to go over some quotes from his book that have been properly vetted, documented historical quotes, confirmed by the Supreme Court and others. No more national debt. Bill Stills got him. And he breaks down an alternative system to what the Federal Reserve is doing. It's all food for thought. Just getting people thinking about alternatives and having that debate is half the battle. We're going to start taking your phone calls for Bill Still. Be with us till 20 after. Then Wayne Madsen joins us in studio for the balance of the hour. I have some other important news coming up. 1-800-259-9231. Let's go ahead and talk to Tyrese in Tennessee. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. Hi, Mr. Still. Alex, I had a couple of things for you. I guess I'll start first with Mr. Steele. If you can explain to me how I would approach the expectations I should place on my representatives and how we should combat this issue with our budget and the monetary things going on. What type of expectations should we be having on our local officials?
If you don't take the money power away from these private banks, nothing will fix anything, and it's designed to reduce us down to total slaves so they can have us as paupers they control by debt. Sorry, Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And if all you have to do is read William Jennings Bryan, 1896, Cross of Gold speech, and that's exactly what he says. Unless you fix the money power, no other reforms are possible. So, you know, what they're doing is they're trying to cut $38 billion out of a budget when, in fact, they're still going to go $1.4 trillion into the hole again this year. So that's not a fix. They can't possibly cut the budget enough, even if they start slashing at Medicare and Social Security, because the interest is compounding. You cannot fix this in any way other than by getting out of the Federal Reserve box, getting out of the debt money system, getting into a system where our money is issued in the public interest without debt. That's the only fix.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, sir. And second, Alex, this is for you. I know a big part of our problem as far as trying to get these changes in our government is this unified front that we don't have. And I'd like to share with you, if you allow me, what I've done on my part to try to fix this.
Sure, tell us.
Connected. I actually built an iPhone application. And it's called Patriot Eye, and it's in the App Store. And I would like for you to look for it and give me your comments on it. And I guess I'll take your response to that off air. Thanks a lot.
Is it called Patriot Eyes?
Patriot Eyes. That's correct.
All right, I'll check it out. Thank you so much, sir. Survival Doc in Missouri. You're on the air with Bill Still.
Hello, Alex. First time caller, long time listener. I have a point of disagreement with Bill Still. I agree with most of what he says. I don't agree that we should go back to another fiat monetary system, because if you look at history, every time a government has been given the ability to create unlimited amounts of money, they have used that through inflation to tax.
You're right, but in Christ's time and in the Roman times, they can manipulate metal coins as well. That's the problem. Anything can be manipulated. I mean, is that your question or comment for Bill?
Well, yes, but I think it's a lot harder to manipulate gold and silver because they can't be created, and paper money can be created so easily. And I just don't think we can trust government to monitor that.
That's a great point, Bill. What do you say to that?
I understand the point, and that is the basic point of this thing. Can we trust government with the greatest power? And so my question to you is, and of course you said the wrong thing. You said that government's never been able to control the quantity. That's just flat wrong. But my question to you is, if we're not going to give this the greatest power of a sovereign nation to the government, then who are you going to give it to? There's only one alternative. You can't just let it go to the void. That's what Hamilton told Washington. And so thereby the Bank of England jumped in and started creating money and started creating
I tell you what,
debt.
Survival Doc, Bill Still, stay there. Noel, Kyle, you're coming up. We got some of these bona fide quotes as well for you. Stay with us, Bill Still.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, if you just joined us, monetary researcher, filmmaker, author Bill Still interviewed Milton Friedman, you name it, for the books and videos he's put together, done a lot of deep research. He believes government should do what Lincoln did, and basically the government should create interest-free money for its own operations, and that we should have free market banks that have reasonable interest but are there to basically supply the economy with credit, and at the same time not allow fractional reserve banking, where, as Obama has said, they're not going 8 to 1 or 10 to 1 for every dollar in the bank. Now it's 300 to 1, 400 to 1, 500 to 1. That's not even counting the derivatives, another form of financial instrument. So think of the unfair trade advantage that gives them. They're getting 300, 400 to 1 free money. We're paying interest. No way to compete. It's the greatest form of discrimination. We all tend to think of discrimination as black versus white, or north versus south, or man against woman, or things like this. But real discrimination is economic inequity. That's really the system. Now, Survival Doc, you were saying that you disagree with Bill Still and saying that financial fiat has never worked, governments can't be trusted. And I kind of agreed with you if we talk about Rome or the U.S. or other systems. But there have been smaller cities, islands that have done it successfully for hundreds of years. And I thought that's where Bill was going. I talked to him during the break. That is where he's going. But overall, Bill, I think that Survival Doc, the caller from Missouri, does have a point. History is full of wreckage of governments that have issued their own currencies, but generally they allow the money power to come in and manage it, correct?
Well, that's true, but I mean, there have been outbreaks throughout history outside of the United States. The United States is the greatest example of fighting for the money power that's ever existed in the history of the world, because we are the freest nation. The two go hand in hand, but smaller nations have done this successfully. For example, Guernsey off the coast of France, it's actually a British protectorate, found during the middle 1800s themselves in a horrible condition, and that is they had a very small economy, and yet their dikes were breaking down, their seawall was breaking down, they needed a new market. And so theirs is a great microcosm of what we should be doing, and that is they agreed to just issue a Guernsey pound note and issue enough of them to do the repairs they wanted. And so what all the citizens were basically agreeing is, yeah, there's going to be more money in circulation, and so that means that there's going to be more pressure to buy goods, so the price of goods will naturally go up. So they were all agreeing to suffer the inflation equally for the common good. Then once these edifices were built, the central market and the seawalls repaired, then they could tax whatever extra money there was in the system out of existence again. And thereby it was perfectly equal and equitable. The money was being created without debt in the public interest. And on the bigger scale, that's what we need to go to in this country.
Guernsey's European. Is it a British isle?
It's a British isle, but it's very close to the coast of France.
But it's its own little country, isn't it?
It's not a country. I believe it would be called a protectorate under the American system. I don't know exactly what it's called under the British.
But it's got its own government.
Yeah, it's got its own government, and if you go on the Guernsey website, which you can Google right now, you'll see that even though they still produce their own debt-free government-issued money, they control the quantity quite closely. They try to create this steady-state economy, and that's why they're so successful. That's why they only have a 20% income tax, and they have one of the highest standards of living in Europe.
Wow. Yeah, no, I've read quite a bit about Guernsey. Any other points, Survival Doc?
Well, yes, just one other, and that is, I think that the value and quantity of money can be controlled. without bankers and governments, and that's by allowing the free market to operate. And I believe that's the opinion of Ron Paul.
Yeah, they love the Austrian economists love to talk about the free market. But you know what? We've had a pretty free market the last 10 years. How's that been working out for us? Not so good. There is no free market.
But it's had government backing. That's how, I mean, if the banksters wanted to engage in this fraud and rip people off, that's their civil issue. It's that pirate market with government backing that's allowed all this, Bill.
If you just say we're going to leave it to the free market, then for sure the rich guys club of the world are going to control it because they control the so-called free market. There's no free market on the Dow Jones, the stock exchange. It's just a bunch of high-frequency computers trading with each other. There is absolutely no free market. If we had a free market, then we'd be in good shape, but we don't.
All right, Survival Doc, good questions. I want to go through some quotes and then hurry through some more calls for Bill Still with his amazing book, No More National Debt. Bill has a really good perspective, well-researched, and I think it's well worth looking at. But unfortunately, most Americans are still not even having this discussion. And it's this discussion that needs to be had so that we're informed on monetary issues, or no matter what road we go down, it's going to be corrupted. Correct, Bill?
Yes, that's absolutely true. And, you know, one of the most interesting periods that I've never been into before that I get into in the book is during the crash of the 1930s. For example, there was a British professor who won the Nobel Prize in Chemistry in 1921 by the name of Frederick Soddy. And he got interested in monetary matters, and he just makes some fantastic quotes, which is this the appropriate time to get into some of
that? Yeah, hit us.
Yeah, well, this is a Soddy quote, for example, in 1933. The fluctuations could be minimized if the government alone had the power to create money and created it in order to maintain a stable price level, which is just what I've been talking about. In order to achieve a government monopoly on the creation of money, it would be necessary to eliminate the money created by banks in the process of making loans. The growing bank failures of the early 30s provided by Knight and others at Chicago with the opportunity to reinstate and redefine the Saudi proposal. Then there's another one. There is something called the Program for Monetary Reform, which is put out in 1939 by Paul Douglas. He was professor of economics at University of Chicago, Irving Fisher of Yale, Frank Graham of Princeton, Earl Hamilton of Duke, Wilford King of NYU, and Charles Wittesley of Princeton. This plan was endorsed by 80% of the professors of economics during the Depression, the Great Depressionary period. And here's a quote out of this work. If they were so right on, it's just unbelievable. If the purpose of money and credit were to discourage the exchange of goods and services, to destroy periodically the wealth produced, to frustrate and trip those who work and save, our present monetary system would seem to be a most effective instrument to that end. They're talking about the Federal Reserve System that was just passed 15 years earlier. They saw it exactly right. So then they talk about the nations that went off the gold standard, and they proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that the nations that went off the gold standard earlier came out of the Depression sooner, and here was their quote, France was among the last to abandon gold, and she's still suffering from her mistake in waiting so long. This period of the 30s, there was the Chicago Plan and the Program for Monetary Reform. These guys saw it exactly right. And thereafter, the Fed system clamped down on professors of economics so that this outbreak of truth would never happen again.
Bill, continue with some more quotes.
Okay. Here's another quote out of this Program for Monetary Reform. Our own monetary policy should be directed towards avoiding inflation as well as deflation and in attaining and maintaining as nearly as possible full production and employment. And that's exactly what we're talking about. All you have to do to have a successful economy is to control the quantity so that price levels stay steady. That's the whole purpose of economics. And, you know, don't you think that if that's all we have to do to fix this economy, economy. Don't you think we could find a half dozen or a handful of good people around the country who would be honest about this and just control the quantity of the U.S. issuing its own debt-free government money? I'll say it again, the last caller, believed the Ron Paul thing, that you have to leave it to the free market and back your money with gold or silver or some other form of commodity. And any time you back it with a commodity, as word got out that this bill
inflation
was coming to fruition, then people would buy up the commodity. So you're not really, it's in control of the rich guy.
Well, what if you went with silver, though? I mean, certainly we've had gold back and silver back currency before, and there were some manipulations that went on and some runs, and it was actually the Federal Reserve that used that unstable part of it as their pretext to sell the Federal Reserve Act.
Well, that was, of course, the theory of William Jennings Bryan in 1896, and the reason was his father was a greenbacker, so he knew greenbacks were the solution, but the Greenback Party had only gotten about 3% in the three previous presidential cycles. So he went with the silver-backed money because silver is being wildcatted from mines in the West, and so he figured, they wouldn't be able to control it so well. But remember back in the 70s when the Hunt brothers controlled the silver market right at the dawn of electronic trading? I tell some hilarious stories in here about that Hunt Brothers episode. So two guys.
Yeah, but that was them cornering it artificially. This is being driven by inflation now.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you made silver the basis of money, the rich guys, in a blink of an eye, could buy it up through their high-frequency trading computers. You can't. Money has to be valueless in order to really be in the public interest.
Yeah, that goes back to the tally sticks and seashells.
That's right.
Well, I mean, I think this overall has been a very good discussion, and I'm still researching the Austrian school. I'm researching the schools that you follow, and I know that any alternative to the private banking hegemony that we have now is a change of pace, and it will take the power structure some time to reorganize around the new system. And I get calls on both sides off air angry every time I have Ron Paul on about monetary issues, or I have you on or others saying, why am I giving out different views? And it's because it's a college of ideas. Your book's available at Infowars.com. Everybody should get it. It's No More National Debt by Bill Still. And get it and read it and decide for yourself. It's also an interactive book. And you know what? Stay there, Bill. I've got Wayne Madsen coming in, but I want to talk to you 1 minute on the other side. All right, Wayne Madsen, investigative journalist, has been here since yesterday morning, and he has been in there in one of the little office cubicles just banging away, researching, making phone calls, doing interviews. We've got a bunch of breaking news with the Obama Providence issue, where he really came from. Big USA Today poll, only 38% believe he was definitely born here, 62% and growing, that's almost two-thirds, really are having questions. We've got some big NSA developments. Of course, Wayne formerly worked with the NSA, so that's coming up as well. Finishing up with Bill Still, and I'll try to cram in these callers later after Bill leaves. I'm sorry, but we've got to get Madsen in here. I could talk to Bill for 100 hours and Wayne for 100 hours as well. The Secret of Oz is a great DVD documentary breaking this down. Also, The Money Master is also made by Mr. Still. It's basically my favorite. It's 3+ hours, 2 discs. Discounted at Infowars.com, and his new book, No More National Debt. You call this the world's first interactive book. We were talking during the break. You were saying this was always household discussion, monetary issues, even in blue collar. You know, people on wagon trains were discussing this hundreds of years ago and right up until 1913. And it's when we forgot about this that the banksters were able to run wild. Bill Still, why do folks need to get No More National Debt?
Well, we've got to make this a household issue again. The household issue that has to be on the forefront of every federal election from now on has to be the quantity of money. How much money is there in the system? And of course, we can't control that as long as the bankers have control of that. We can only control that if you bring that money power back into Congress and then have an oversight committee who actually controls the issuance of that money from elected state representatives. Now, as far as the hyperscans, this is the first hyperscan-enabled book, print printed book ever. There's almost 100 hyperscans in there. It allows me to link. It allows me to cut the book size in half, essentially, because I can link to supplemental videos. I can show the actual PDF of the original Federal Reserve Act, all by just initializing a free app that goes on your smartphone, or you can type the URL into your desktop computer, so desktop computers won't be left out too.
So it's got a mega expanded bibliography, basically.
Well, it's not just a bibliography. It allows me to update the information. For example, it allows people to interact. Where this fake quote issue is big, and so I want to interact with people who have different information on the fake quotes, and it allows people to interact with me, and so we can improve that as well. It's truly interactive. It's the first book with it. 2 years from now, every book that's printed will have hyperscan QR codes in it, but it was just a fan of The Secret of Oz who holds a patent. He said, look, I'm going to give it to you. Here it is.
All right, Bill Still, the book is available at InfoWars.com. So are the DVD films. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, shifting gears now to our next guest in studio. Again, we don't normally have guests 2 days in a row. Webster Griffin Tarpley will be in studio Friday being interviewed here. Dr. Bob Bowman will be in studio here on Friday because he's coming to town to be interviewed and also to give a speech. So big show coming up on Friday. We have some other surprise guests on Wednesday and Thursday coming up. Wayne Madsen, Washington, D.C.-based investigative journalist, written for some of the biggest publications in the country, The American Conservative, The Progressive, Counterpunch, guest on Fox, CNN, RT. And he, of course, worked in anti-submarine naval warfare. And he also worked with the National Security Agency, the Naval Data Automated Command. And he was one of the senior fellow members of the Electronic Privacy Information Center. We're about to go to break, but recently he was given, through high-level sources, threats from the White House to quit looking into Obama's birth certificate and CIA past. And he was just a guest on one of our sister stations in Dallas, KHVN 97 FM. We're on KKGM 1630 up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And the station said they called the White House to get a quote about the threats you were getting. I bet the mafia up there doesn't like that.
Well, they got somebody from the White House who said he was aware of the story, said, put it in an email to us. And, of course, they never heard back by airtime, the station. They didn't return the call. Now, this is a black gospel station. Is this how Obama's treating a group of folks that he considers to be his base? I think it goes with the arrogance of Barack Obama and his administration.
Obama, we had the head of the Small Business League on, hundreds of thousands of members. Obama got rid, effectively, of the Black Small Business Assistance Fund.
I'm not surprised. And now we know today it's being reported that he's not delivered any of his promises to deal with the joblessness amongst the African-American population in this country.
It's amazing. Give us there have been some new developments. We've got about 15 seconds. What's coming up after the break?
Well, we know that the Justice Department has just dropped the criminal investigation of Thomas Tam, who was the guy who released the info about the Stellar Wind illegal NSA wiretapping program.
All right, and there's some more on Obama's birth certificate. We'll break it all down with Wayne Madsen on the other side. I'm Alex Jones, InfoWars.com.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Wayne Madsen out of D.C. right now, basically preparing to go on the lam away from his would-be assassins. He's a serious reporter, folks. I mean, he's one that got me Palfrey on the show before they killed her. And I could tell you that she was in danger at the time, and she wouldn't even publicly admit to it. These people don't play games. We're going back to Wayne here in a moment. First, I'm going to tell you about a few of the things we've got cooking in the InfoWar. The video we posted last night's going mega viral, Secrets of the Royal Wedding Exposed. It's up on InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com in a detailed article written by Steve Watson. And if you go to InfoWars.com, you can see the headline in Steve Watson's article, Modern British Royalty Eugenicist, that means population reducers, Nazis and Neo-Feudalist, very important article ahead of this royal wedding that's trying to train us to worship these hereditary dictators. And the video, I only plug this once. The problem is with these Google bombs, if I don't plug them every hour and really push it, they fail. I barely plugged it in the first hour. Please, folks, Google this term. Google it over and over again. Hit enter, 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 enter. Royal wedding exposed. Three words, put it in the Google search box, make it number one. Believe me, they're going to hate this. This will be a big history lesson for a lot of dumbed-down people that are going to have their own parties in the U.S. worshiping the hereditary thugs. Royal wedding exposed. Put it in the search engine over and over again, and please get the video, Secrets of the Royal Wedding Exposed, and get it out to all of the mind-numb people that you know. We're going back to Wayne here in a moment. First, I want to tell you about eFoodsDirect.com, the highest quality, longest continually operating company, non-GMO, non-hybrid. I've got storable, high-quality foods last more than 10 years from these folks. And they're very inexpensive compared to their competition because they're the biggest, all right here in the U.S. produced, all fresh. In dangerous times like these, you need the insurance policy of storable food, firearms, water filters. It's a good thing to have as an emergency backup. It's insurance you can eat. eFoodsDirect.com. Don't procrastinate. Or 800-409-5633. 800-409-5633. Or check out their banners on InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And in closing, speaking of water filtration, I want to tell you about PureWaterFreedom.com. If you want to affordably remove fluoride from your tap water, visit PureWaterFreedom.com. They have a full line of household fluoride filters. You can even remove fluoride from every water source in your home with a whole house fluoride system. They have a wide variety of filters to remove all types of toxins from your water, including shower, bath filters, tabletops, water bottles, you name it. And all their filters are made in the USA. Sorry, globalist. We know you don't like it. Made in the USA. Check out their banners at InfoWars.com or go to PureWaterFreedom.com to take control of your water supply today. PureWaterFreedom.com. For the next 25 minutes, Wayne Madsen, day two, in studio with us. And I'm going to go to an interview for an upcoming film with him after this. Great to have you here. And you're in your Sunday dress, so we're honored. Wayne, you were getting into new developments on the Social Security number, on his college records. This new poll out, upwards of two-thirds don't think he was born in this country because these the public finally is learning not to trust government.
Well, we have, there's a couple new developments. One is from a Hawaii State Senator, Sam Sloan. He says he knew the Obama's grandparents in Hawaii, and he's stating that he feels that Obama was born in Hawaii, but that if the birth certificate is exposed, it may reveal that Barack Obama Sr. is not the actual father.
That's right. He's gone public. That's all over the Honolulu and Hawaiian papers.
Yeah, it's all over the place. And is this the reason why? I do know that the White House likes to divert people to the birth certificate, but they won't produce the actual certificate. They say, no, it's a certificate of live birth. Is there something in the actual original birth certificate that they're saying, okay, well, the birth certificate's real, but you can't see? It may not be the fact that he...
Exactly. They're hiding something in the past.
I believe he was born in Hawaii. The state senator says he believes he was born in Hawaii. He certainly knew the grandparents. He probably knew them well enough to know that Barack Obama was born in Hawaii. And now we have this issue with the Social Security number that was issued to President Obama. It was not a Hawaii-issued Social Security number. It was issued in the state of Connecticut. This is the Social Security number he used on his Selective Service Registration form. He used it on other forms. And it's 042XX because of privacy. We don't know. 4425. It was previously held by an individual who died in 1890 and had died, and the number was reissued in the state of Connecticut to President Obama in the late 90s.
President Sotero.
President Sotero, Sabarka, you know, whatever. I think there's other avenues that have not been looked at.
What we know is his records are being covered up like nothing we've ever seen. We know he gave up citizenship to be Indonesian. We know they've been covering things up. And so, yes, they love to say, ah, ha, ha, birth certificate. And then his wife gives all these speeches years ago about he went back to his home country of Kenya. What do you think's going on here?
Obama said he was going to run the most transparent administration in the history of the country. Even on his own background, he's been totally opaque. He has not been transparent. He's not been transparent on other issues as well. But if he can't be transparent on his own background, how can we expect him to be forthcoming on other issues having to do with the economy, the intelligence community, surveillance programs, and everything?
What does your gut tell you? I mean, you think he was born in Hawaii?
I believe he was born in Hawaii, but I do believe that he may have opted for an Indonesian passport because Lolo Sitoro adopted him. We also know...
We know he changed his name.
Right, and he changed his name. We also know that Lolo Sitoro adopted another little girl at the time who was about the same age as Obama. She claimed that she was Obama's stepsister, but this other stepsister of Obama, Ng Sitoro, or Sitoro Ng, says, oh, that woman was a charlatan. She was not adopted.
And there was a tranny nanny. I mean, this is a weird group.
Well, and this supposed half sister died a couple years ago. We don't know what she died of. Obviously, it was an old age because she's the same age as Obama. Then we have the nanny tranny that raised Obama in Jakarta, who went by the name Turdy. That individual apparently is still alive. But when that information came out in a movie made in Indonesia last year, there was this like pushback against the producers of the film saying, oh, this was a fictional character. There was no such transsexual nanny. But now we know that there was a transsexual nanny. So almost at every turn, we find out that the Obama administration and he is not forthcoming in something he should know totally about, his own background.
More and more becomes clear they put Obama in knowing he had all this baggage, knowing that they could blackmail him and control him, but also as a way to claim it was hope and change, but as a way to create division amongst the American people so we would fight with each other instead of going after the private Federal Reserve.
Absolutely. And, you know, looking at the streets in Washington now, I can say something about his hope. There is a lot more people out on the streets asking for change. I've never seen so many homeless people. Even when Reagan turned them out of the mental institutions, when he cut back funding, and we had all the homelessness, when Mitch Snyder was big with his movement in the 1980s, it was nothing compared. Because what we're seeing now in Washington are homeless couples. People in their 50s and 60s are out on the street.
And remember all those people at his event saying, thank you, Mr. President, right after he got elected. I'm not going to pay for my car, my house anymore. And he played along with it. They really thought that Ben Bernanke was going to helicopter money to them, or that parachutes, you know, with Volkswagen Beetles were going to come out of the sky.
Well, I don't think he has any affinity for the people who are hurting in this country. As a matter of fact, let's go back to the '08 campaign, and he said something that Hillary could have used as a campaign issue but didn't. He said, when they were talking about the price of food was going up, when the price of gas was going up, he said, yes, Michelle and I noticed that the price of arugula was very high. Now, who eats arugula in South Chicago except for that tiny community in Hyde Park around the University of Chicago? Hillary didn't use it, but that was almost George Bush and the store scanner moment. It showed that he was totally Obama, out of touch with society. Arugula? I mean, people in South Chicago can't afford arugula even if they knew what it was.
Yeah, they're eating rice and beans.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And now many people can't eat even the staples anymore because the price of food is skyrocketing.
And meanwhile, Geithner comes out today and says we have a strong dollar and strong dollar policy, when they know their policy of monetization of debt is causing it to be devalued.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, well, look, again, this gets back, you know, Timothy Geithner's father, Peter Geithner, was Obama's mother's boss at the Ford Foundation. She spent a lot of time in New York. We don't know what she was doing in New York, but she was there at a time when the Ford Foundation was laundering a lot of money for the CIA, for various programs. We do know that Obama's mother spoke Javanese, and we know that when she was in New York, there was an attempt to assassinate the president of Suriname, who's back in as president, and Obama has already signaled he won't have anything to do with this guy. Again, does he hold these grudges like he might hold against Gaddafi? Was his mother involved in the attempt by the CIA to oust Desi Bouterse in Suriname in 1986? She was in New York working for Ford, spoke Javanese. She would have been a hot commodity for the CIA in that year.
And yesterday you went through the incredible intelligence agency connections of his entire family.
Oh, there's more there than meets the eye. I was recently told that we know that President Obama's mother was in Pakistan. She was in Indonesia. She traveled to the Philippines with the Asian Development Bank and the other fronts that she worked for. But she was also in the country of Ghana in the mid 1980s. What was she doing there? Obama hasn't said anything about her time in Ghana. But we know that in 1987, when she was supposedly in Ghana, the country to the north, their president was assassinated in a CIA coup. Thomas Sankara, who was really the Hugo Chavez of Africa, he said, "We're gonna pull out of the World Bank. We're gonna pull out of the IMF. We're tired of these Western banks telling us what to do." And he was assassinated. A mommy dearest seemed to have been in an awful lot of places where the CIA was conducting activities, and she seemed to have the credentials to be in those places. And then they try to say she was some hippie flower child, just a free spirit and trying to help poor people get microloans. I'm not buying it. I think the evidence speaks for itself.
We got a little bit into it, but do you want to say anything more about this new leaker case that you were just mentioning?
Yes. Tom Tam was a Justice Department prosecutor whose father was a career FBI agent, worked under J. Edgar Hoover. He was the person who leaked the information about this illegal Stellar Wind. Remember, Stellar Wind was itself a classified term. A handful of people in the Bush administration knew about it. He leaked the information, and they stormed into his home with a SWAT team, took his kids' computers, took their Christmas card mailing list. Well, the Justice Department just dropped its investigation of Tom Tam. But again, how does he get his reputation back? Who's going to pay for his legal expenses?
But you're supposed to leak information if it's illegal.
Absolutely.
National security doesn't protect crime.
Well, we have Tom Drake, who leaked information about massive corruption in contracts at the National Security Agency. His trial starts in Baltimore very soon. He's being charged under the Espionage Act of 1917. Four people in the history of this country have been charged with that. Well, if they're dropping the charges against Tom Tam, why aren't they dropping the charges against Tom Drake? And while they're at it, they can drop the charges against Bradley Manning, because there is no way he could have made off with over a quarter million cables on a Lady Gaga CD. That is just a made-up story, in my opinion. It didn't happen. But Obama, like Nixon with Charles Manson, said, oh, he's guilty. He committed a crime.
Well, it boggles the mind how they've been torturing Bradley Manning, naked in a freezing cell, when obviously a private isn't going to have three decades of secret cables from multiple different agencies. The Army doesn't have that. Bottom line, what do you think WikiLeaks, because they put out some good info, but some stuff that makes it look like kind of a Soros operation. You worked for the NSA. You've worked as a journalist at all different levels. What's the word in D.C.? What is WikiLeaks?
It's a classic good cop, bad cop type thing. It's so much information has been released. The newspapers, the corporate papers, went ahead and redacted some of these cables after they consulted with the State Department. If you're going to do that, there's always a chance that these cables have been manipulated, altered in some respect. We know the history of the Bush administration with altering intelligence, yellow cake, uranium from Niger, and major politicians taking money from Saddam Hussein for the oil for food program, and these documents that were supposedly found in the rubble in Baghdad had been doctored with whiteout. I mean, not even a good job at doing it. So we know their history of these neocons. I suspect that the cables that were released about Tunisia, Egypt, Syria, Yemen, Pakistan, other countries have probably been highly altered to bring pressure to bear on these governments to...
Well, it's admitted the State Department's trying to destabilize the Middle East.
Right. And then we have some information that comes out about one Al-Qaeda guy was an MI6 operative. Well, you got to put the good stuff in there to make the other leaks look...
Well, that's what I was about to bring up. AP, Reuters, Sky Television, all reporting Al-Qaeda bomber worked for UK intelligence. And they go on and admit the documents are real and that he was a British intel guy out commanding Al-Qaeda forces. Same story with the 7/7 bombing with a SWAT. Same story with Anwar al-Awlaki running the underwear bombing, the Times Square. I mean, why would Fox News be given a Pentagon document and then the Pentagon go, yeah, that's true. Are they almost inoculating this in case it comes out later that I mean, bin Laden literally is a hand puppet for the globalist?
Well, they may be, or they may be, it may be like a straw man they're putting out there to get it out there so they can control the reaction rather than have a
leak. That's what I meant, titrate the dose.
I think so. And look, we got to go back to what the former British Foreign Secretary Robin Cook said, that Al-Qaeda was nothing more than a CIA database. It meant the base. It meant a database of all these Arabs, Egyptians, Saudis that were used in the war against the Soviet Union. And he died suddenly of a heart attack after making these revelations. Robin Cook, as foreign secretary, was also in charge of MI6. And he was in charge of the British NSA, the GCHQ. He would have known this.
Why did Dr. David Kelly, the head inspector, go public and say, they've told me they're going to kill me and put me in the woods, and they did it? Why would the former head of the MI6, why did he go public? I mean, they've got to know what's going to happen to him.
I think Robin Cook realized what a treasonous person Tony Blair was. He resigned from the Blair government, and then he went public.
Yeah, the word is he was mad about him murdering Kelly.
Right, and the word is we had a leak of information about spying on the UN from a GCHQ person named Catherine Gunn, and they never prosecuted her because the word is that people like Robin Cook and Claire Short, who also resigned from the Blair administration, probably encouraged that leak to just point out that Tony Blair was just a lying, deceptive...
Well, the word is he was the same as Obama. He kept tabs on the leftist in college for MI5.
Oh, absolutely. And Tony Blair, look, the minute Clinton leaves office, he's running over here to hug George W. Bush. The guy's a total chameleon. But people like...
By the way, they're talking about him for EU president or Schwarzenegger, which is perfect because it's an unelected position. So we'll talk about that with Wayne Madsen when we come back. WikiLeaks is also reporting, and the Telegraph's got a report out today that, they're radicalizing people in London Mosque. That's what the Guantanamo torture shows. Actually, what it shows is that they torture people there for 2, 3, 4, 5 years and then release them, and they end up being the commanders of the rebel forces in places like Libya. And from our Bilderberg sources, through Jim Tucker, that have proven to be very accurate, they were beside themselves at a trilateral commission meeting last week. That first the Stanford Review tried to deny he was at that meeting, and then they had to correct. Well, I guess he was at a trilateral meeting in that neighborhood. Okay, but still, you know, this Alex Jones report isn't true. But to make a long story short, the globalists are hopping mad that the LA Times and others reported that indeed Al-Qaeda is the main force of the, quote, good guys in Libya. I mean, how much more obvious does this have to get, Wayne?
I mean, we have so much ample evidence that Al-Qaeda is just basically has been run by the CIA and its affiliate agencies around the world, Australia, Britain, other countries. I don't know how much more evidence people need to know that this is a fake organization. It was created for the whole purpose of bringing about, amongst other things, the Patriot Act here and similar acts and laws in other countries. The mere fact of what we have to travel like we do now. When I left Reagan yesterday, I had to go through the millimeter wave detection, and I never take my wallet out. And the guy says, "What's in your pocket?" I said, "My wallet." He says, "Give me that wallet." You know, well, you know, I'm not used to giving.
It's all prisoner training. Line up. Give me that.
Exactly. And then they insisted on wanting my hands and checking it in some machine. And you know, and he says, "Okay, you can go now."
It's training you that you're bad. You're a prisoner. It's taking normal, law-abiding people and giving us prisoner training.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember when you didn't have to go through a magnetometer when you went to the airport. You could go to your plane, you know, with 15 minutes to spare.
And you got a better chance of being killed by a honeybee, I pulled up the numbers, than by an Al-Qaeda terrorist. I mean, since when do they... I mean, even if you don't think the government's behind the terror, folks, and they're behind almost all of it, there is some real organic. The way they, ooh, it's going to get you. Oh, man. Oh, it's so scary. Don't worry. We're going to take all your rights away and launch a bunch of wars and make trillions of bucks. And then we get the internal MIAC Homeland Security reports. It's all about landowners, gun owners, anti-war, libertarian, Ron Paul groups. This is all about the American people.
Well, remember, they instituted airport checks because of the planes being hijacked to Cuba. And what were we exposed to? Oh, these people are hijacking planes to Cuba because they're all in bed with Fidel Castro. Like Castro, planned the whole operation. That sounds like that. Even those original hijackings may have...
Well, now it's come out, even in that... it's the documentary about the Munich Olympics. I forget the name. It's One Day in September. It has Michael Douglas as the voiceover. And at the end, they have the head of German intelligence from the time go ahead and admit they staged it. And he goes on and admits that they staged fake hijackings after it. Like it's cute. But still, the terrorists are going to get you, but it was staged.
Well, we know.
It gets worse. We know some of the hijackings and bombings blamed on Fidel were actually carried out by the CIA. They were fake.
Right. And we know from French intelligence and British intelligence sources that the hijacking of the Air France plane to Uganda, to Entebbe. Remember, raid on Entebbe was conducted by the Mossad to make the Palestinians look bad because the French were talking about maybe making some deal with the Palestinians.
And by the way, this is not our opinion. I mean, I go see a movie 10 years ago that got a best documentary of that year, and they just admit at the end it was all staged. It was weird.
Absolutely. I mean, it's almost like we are truly living in the Matrix. Some of us have taken the red pill, but many of us opted for the blue pill, but really should take the red pill so they know how deep the rabbit hole really goes.
Absolutely. The Google search term, when we come back in 1 minute. Stay with us. About 5 minutes left, and we're going back into a key ring retransmission with Bill Still and a breakdown of the geopolitical developments that are taking place right now, and the fact that the mainstream media is losing all credibility very, very quickly and imploding on itself. But you had one other development on the Obama front that's important.
Well, recently there was a hearing in the U.S. History Court in Washington, D.C., an individual sued Larry Sinclair. He wrote a book about Obama in Chicago, claimed that he had two sexual trysts with Obama in 1999, did cocaine with Obama. The law firm that represented the plaintiff is Patton and Boggs, one of the most powerful law firms in Washington, D.C. Let's figure about $700 to $800 an hour law firm. So they were used to sue Larry Sinclair and also his booksellers, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Books A Million. Judge Leon threw out that lawsuit against the booksellers. The suit against Larry Sinclair is still being deliberated upon, but it was quite interesting. I and only one other journalist, my colleague Andrew Craig, were sitting in that courtroom. Nobody from the Post, nobody from any other publication. We were there. We heard Judge Leon in deliberations ask the question. Well, he said, "Well, what accusations are we making here? Are these the accusations against the president?" And he clearly, this is now part of the official transcript in a court hearing in Washington, D.C. This one will not go away either. We have the choir director at Trinity United Church of Christ, Donald Young. His mother says she's now fearful of her life and that her son was fearful of his life. It was her son that contacted Larry Sinclair and said, "I saw your YouTube video about Obama. Be very, very careful. These people are dangerous." And, of course, Donald Young was killed gangland execution style. He was on his way. He wanted to go to Liberia to teach school to get out of the United States. Talking about people who knew Obama very well, in his case, maybe really very well, wanting to get out of the country, but they nailed him, and they nailed another guy from the church, a guy named Larry Bland. So we have two people winding up dead right out of Trinity United Church of Christ. These people, I do believe, mean business when they issue four threats.
But you weren't told why you've been through an embassy, a foreign embassy, and a major news publication, been told the White House wants you dead. And you say, well, figuratively, and they said, no, literally. you're just guessing it's the CIA background, but I mean, it may be that you're digging around into his sexual escapades.
That could be, and certainly that, but that has been also the subject of the tabloids. They've covered that extensively. The Globe has written about that. I think because they control Chicago and they control it very well, they can deal with that. What they probably can't deal with is. They don't have their fingers everywhere as much as they might want to think they do. I don't think they can deal with Indonesia. I don't think they can deal with the mother's background in Pakistan.
Hawaii, high-powered people coming out saying, no, he was born here. It's just from he has a different name. He's a different person.
Right. I've even heard from one fairly reputable source that maybe Obama's real father was a Cuban who, when his mother was taken by her father to Cuba. And
I'll tell you, I've looked at his dad. He looks nothing like his supposed Kenyan dad. I mean, he looks nothing.
There is absolutely no resemblance. One could say that the resemblance would be more fitting of somebody who might have been an Afro-Cuban or somebody from one of the more Hamitic tribes of the Horn of Africa in Kenya or a neighboring country, but certainly not somebody who was a member of the Luo tribe, because they are a Bantu tribe, and Obama just does not have any of the Bantu features.
I mean, his dad looks nothing like him.
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
There is absolutely no resemblance. And this comes from people from Africa who know
the tribes.
From Uganda and Kenya, they look at the father. They say, "This can't be. It can't be his father." They know this because this is their continent and their region. They know these things about the people.
Well, it's almost like if you had two black people and they had a redheaded kid. I mean, it just doesn't. Hey, Wayne, great job.